Om Shanti. Good morning. So here's the tip for today. There's no handout today, but there is some homework and there are some notes which you can download from this webpage. Please take notes or photograph or as you will. How many are we? 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Woo! Okay, all got that done? Can I move on? Okay. So, some questions for you. How is it going with the affirmations? Nods all round? Any embarrassed silences? Okay. Has anybody been finding that it's making a difference already? Yes? Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's only 20 times. It takes 10 seconds or so. You know? Nothing. But it actually makes a difference. Yeah? And if you keep it up for a month, then it makes a big difference. Yeah? Okay. How did it go yesterday with your inner child conversation? Was that helpful for you? Yeah? You're very quiet this morning. So who stayed up last night and did another Beyond Dance worksheet? Nobody, that's shocking. You did one? Okay, very good. It says here, is everyone meditating every day?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from work so far? Okay. This is what we're going to do today. Learn some more habits about keeping your self-esteem low. We're going to do some work on anger. We're going to look at processing emotions underneath the anger. We're going to look at the self-esteem model. You'll like that. A bit more about dealing with pain and learning about valuing the inner child. You'll like that as well. This is a good lesson. It's a real cool lesson. Okay. So, habits that keep self-esteem low. We've already looked at rejecting the self by rejecting your emotions, negative self-talk, not dealing with sad emotions in a healthy way. Interpreting a situation with a false belief. What would be the antidotes for those? Come on, guys, just speak to me. Make me feel that you're here. What would be the antidotes? How about rejecting the self by rejecting your emotions? And the right thing to do is? Acknowledge them, yeah? Accept them. And love yourself anyway. Yeah? Negative self-talk? What tools have you had so far about negative self-talk? You got your positive affirmations? Yeah? What other techniques have you had? ANTS, yes, the automatic negative thought worksheet. And what's the other technique that you've had?
Yeah, it was really good.
Remember the Sherlock Holmes picture? Looking for the evidence that your alternative statement was true. Your better statement was true. Yeah, so you've got three techniques there. Quite apart from spending time recognizing your negative self-talk and changing it. Not dealing with sad or painful emotions in a healthy way. What would be a healthy way of dealing with your negative emotions? Talking to your inner child, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're here. Interpreting a situation with a false belief. What's the cure for that? Okay, speak up. This ear is deaf. That would do it, yeah. It's really about applying logic to your thoughts, you know, being a bit more critical rather than just dumping thoughts into the world. So, We're going to look at difficulties in managing anger, doing some work on comparing yourself to others, looking at the consequences of inner weakness leading to dependent behavior and or codependent behavior. You'll find that really interesting. Is there more? No, that'll do for today. Okay, let's have a look at this anger stuff. Anger is a secondary emotion. It's not a primary emotion. And it's usually based on hurt, fear, shame, or feeling unsafe. The story I told you the other day about my car and the wheel being at an angle, because I was angry because I felt unsafe. My wife's life was being threatened. Yeah? Yes, and often, unless you know about it, anger can happen so quickly that you're not aware of where it came from. And again, it comes down to this filter. You know that it's the filter that causes the emotion, not the original event. So the general understanding is, sometimes you say, "He made me so angry." Well, nobody can make you angry. Only you can make you angry. Yeah? So, what is under your anger? Here's some questions we can think about. I feel angry because... we have translators today? Yes? Okay. I feel angry because I feel afraid that I feel hurt because I want. And an interesting technique, I look inside, I can find a healing quality that will help. And this quality is, and you have to think about that. The healing quality I can take from God and give to myself is, I now imagine how I can take that quality from God more often during the day. So what I want to do, let's just read my notes, because there's a few more in here, things I normally skip out. Another approach is to write down your initial thought, your ANTS. What triggered the emotion? What is the false belief and ego attachment that triggers that emotion? Can you reframe the situation in a more positive light? So the Beyond ANTS worksheet can also be helpful for you. So think about a time when you were angry. Can you understand what was underneath the anger? Yeah? Did you look? Or were you just angry, lashing out? Yeah? Anybody like to give an example? No time. No time. Too much pressure. You must live in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, everything is fast. I'll share with you that when you give the meditation course to people in Hong Kong, you ask a question, and before the last word is out, they're giving you the answer. You know? Bum, bum, bum. Because that's how it is in Hong Kong. Everything's so fast. And after they've been coming a few weeks, you get to speak the last word of the question, and then there's a little gap, like quarter of a second or half a second before they start speaking. You can see how they've just slowed down a bit. Very nice. Okay. Can you dish up some very nice meditation music, please, Hang? Thank you. So let's do a little commentary, which I need my watch. So sit comfortably. Relax your body. And take a deep breath. As you breathe in peace and calmness. As you breathe out, let go of any tension in your body. Fill yourself with peace. Be still. Let any tension go. Completely relax, allowing light to flow through your whole body. Now think of a past or a current situation about which you experience being a little upset or angry. This exercise is to process that experience and perhaps understand it a little differently. Please finish the following sentences in your mind. I feel angry because. I feel afraid that. I feel hurt because. I want. Think about what you really want. It's never really a thing. Is it something to do with being acknowledged, seen, appreciated or valued? I look inside. I can find a healing quality that will help. And this quality is. The healing quality I can take from God and give to myself is. I take in that quality from the Supreme. God sees me and loves me. I completely accept and love myself. I now experience how I can take that quality from God more often during my day. Now, fill yourself with peace. Be still. Let any tension go. completely relax. Allow light to flow through your whole body. Let any old anger or resentment begin to release. Enter into silence. Relax. Sometimes there is old hurt or shame under the anger. All human beings have hurt or shame or fear. All of us want to be loved and valued. You are valuable. You are love. Under the hurt, there is always love deep within each and every person. Breathe into that light of love. It is okay to feel your power of love within. Your values and the power of love and peace are deep within you. In time, the hurt and shame will fade. Let any hurt or shame begin to fade from your heart now. Let the heart be surrounded by the light of peace and the light of love. Fill yourself with your values. Let go of any tension. Relax into the light of peace. Be completely still. Focus. Let God's light of love heal. Now, slowly, allow your attention to return to the room and these surroundings, keeping peace and stillness in your mind. Okay, Om Shanti. Okay, some ideas for you. Self-acceptance, accepting yourself as you are. It works because, one, it's good sense. Making mistakes is human and it's okay. I told you all about the okay treatment, didn't I? Yeah? Oh, somebody mentioned yesterday, I've told the same two stories twice running. If they were the same twice running, means I didn't make it up. It also means I'm getting to be really boring. It was exactly the same, then I didn't make it up. Either that or I've been practicing it. I have a superb sense of detachment from my teaching. You know, I don't remember exactly what I've taught. When I was in Hong Kong, it was a bit extreme. I could never remember who I taught the previous week. So I always had to sit down in reception and wait for the students to come and say, "Hello, Peter." This was not accurate. Self-acceptance works because it is closer to reality. Giving yourself permission to make mistakes takes the emotional heat out of them. Making mistakes is okay. Making the same mistake twice is not okay. When you do make mistakes, being cool and calm makes it easier to learn better ways. Yeah, all good common sense. Accepting you are fallible. Making mistakes is part of life. Lowering your self-esteem because of mistakes is definitely not smart. So give up guilt. Just let it go. Yeah? Doesn't serve you very well at all. So, here we are, the famous chart, I think, coming up. Yep. So, here's where we start. You start with an event. Something happens in your life, and this something leads to a feeling, a bad feeling. So maybe you've been made redundant, is the example I gave before. But you should already know, it isn't the event which is causing the bad feeling, it's the filter in between. And the filter is your own creation, based on your experiences, and it conditions all your, perception, that's the word I'm looking for, perceptions. It conditions all your perceptions, how you see the world and how you look at events. But it's a choice, and you can change your perceptions. Yeah, if you are better informed, you can change your perceptions. And so here's some events that might be critical for you. It's particularly relevant to children. As I explained before, when you're being very negative about something as an adult, you can think rationally about it and dismiss it. But a child can't do that. They don't have the life experiences to enable them to do it. So something goes wrong in their life and they say, it must be my fault. I must be a bad person, or I'm no good, or I'm useless, or whatever. And in this way, it kicks off this sense of low self-esteem. And once it's there, it just takes root, as you'll see. So here's some critical events. Being abused, being neglected, feeling deprived of love, being bullied. I grew up feeling deprived of love. Yeah? Whether it was true or not is beside the point, but that's how I felt. And the end consequence was I had massive low self-esteem. Really. And when you have very low self-esteem, you can be very destructive. And I'm quite intelligent, so I was really destructive. Wow. Yes. So your mum speaking sharply to you, being criticized, experiencing social rejection due to a mental, physical or practical difficulty in your life. And this is quite common, that people who have some level of disability, or maybe they're just not attractive, you know? Maybe their nose is a strange shape, or they've got an ear missing or something. And it becomes a dominant factor for them, and it can lower your sense of self-esteem. I had a fantastic talk once from a gentleman who was a manager in Remploy in the UK. Remploy employs people who are disabled. And this gentleman was about 4'6" with a big hunchback, you know? And he was fantastic. He had no sense of low self-esteem at all. He was funny, he was excited, he was jubilant, he was just a joy to listen to. Yeah? So, it can be done. So here's a whole bunch of critical events that might affect your life. Now, a person can create a memory of a bad event, even if the event to another would appear trivial. And this is particularly relevant to young children. I told you the story about my friend who went to an art shop, yeah, and this American gentleman came in. Did I tell you that story?
No.
Oh, good. Oh, right, I'll tell you that story then. A friend of mine was very good at art. When she was 7 years old, her mother took her to an art shop to buy some more materials. And while they were there, this American gentleman came in and he said, "Gee, that's a pretty child. I could just take you home with me." And the mother, being very light, said, "Oh, that's very nice. Would you like to go with him?" And this child's thinking, "My mother would give me away just like that?" And in that moment, her sense of security and self-worth disappeared. And that's how it stayed for the next 40 years. Yeah? This is how low self-esteem is initiated and it persists. It doesn't have to be anything big to create it. Which is why 99.99% of all the Brahmins have low self-esteem. It's a common condition today. Yeah? If you were a powerful soul, you wouldn't be affected in that way. But that's very rare in the world today. Yeah, when you're a child, you don't have a powerful soul. The soul is not very powerful. So this is particularly relevant to young children. So what happens? Your sense of bad feeling can give rise to a temporary low self-esteem if you're an adult. It can also give rise to a memory of pain. and it can give rise to conscious or unconscious negative self-talk. The unconscious negative self-talk is when it's been running like a tape recorder for so long, you don't even hear it anymore. There's just a little voice at the back of your head going, bad person, bad person, bad person. And you can't hear it anymore. But it's still there. It's still delivering its message. Yeah? And this negative self-talk changes the filter. Remember we're talking about the model of the conscious mind, the unconscious mind and the intellect. When you give a message to your subconscious, it goes looking for the evidence that it's true. And in this case, you're making negative comments about yourself. The subconscious goes looking for the evidence that it's true. And it always finds it. So your life experience tells you you're really quite a useless person, or a bad person, or a worthless person. And that's one of the reasons why low self-esteem sticks like super glue. Once you've initiated it, it just stays there. Your life experience repeatedly confirms it for you. It stays in place. And these two fellows, the negative self-talk and the memory of pain, are the basis for low self-esteem. Now, two factors are negative self-talk and the memory of pain. This is the basis for low self-esteem. It's where it comes from. Yeah? And it gets worse. This low self-esteem in itself creates weakness in the soul, a feeling of being incomplete or empty. Practically, it feels like a hole in your chest, you know, that you need to fill. Yeah? And you feel the need to prove yourself, or to be important in the world, or to demonstrate to the world that you're alive. It puts a pressure on you to do something. Whereas actually, if you were completely soul conscious, you wouldn't feel the need to do anything. You would just be looking at the world and enjoying every moment. Every moment is just there to entertain you. Yeah? But when you have low self-esteem, you feel compelled to do something about it. Yeah? So, this thing about spiritual energy, it's a natural process to lose spiritual energy over a long period of time. It's a bit like a hot cup of tea. You put it on the table, you come back after an hour, it becomes a cold cup of tea. Yeah? And the soul is the same. It's a bit like entropy. The soul arriving in the golden age is full of power. Complete. Perfect. But over a long period of time, that power is moved away, whittled away, little bit by little bit. And by the time you get the copper age, half of it is gone. Okay, so if you think about the numbers, you start off 16 degrees complete, end of golden age, you're down to 14 degrees, then the silver age, you're down to 12, then the copper age, you're down to 8. And here we are at the end of the iron age. You shouldn't be too surprised if the power of the soul is rapidly approaching zero. Yeah? And when you get down to towards zero, you become very vulnerable to low self-esteem. And you'll see how that works. So in low self-esteem, the soul is not being sustained by positive self-talk or the positive energy available from Raj Yoga meditation, even while practicing it. So your low self-esteem stops you from empowering yourself. If memories are not dealt with in a healthy way, negative self-talk continues. And how do you deal with negative memories in a healthy way? Positive affirmation is a good start. Who do you have conversations with? Inner child. Yeah, that's a good way of dealing with negative emotions and feelings. Yeah. So this goes on to weakness in the soul leads to dependent behavior. And dependent behavior is an unhealthy relationship with something or someone that makes me feel better for a time. So you're feeling very weak and you've got this hole in your chest, and you might be then tempted to take up alcohol. Yeah, that was a solution I used from time to time, you know. You get the first two or three pints inside and you feel pretty good, yeah? Gives you a lift. But afterwards you feel terrible. So the... it's up on there, yeah? So when you engage in the dependent behaviour, it gives you a little lift. But you know that you're exhibiting weakness. Therefore, it makes your low self-esteem even worse. And so this feeds on itself. So this is the second reason why low self-esteem sticks like super glue. Because the way you live your life, you're perpetuating it. Yeah? And some examples would be alcohol, drugs, work, food, relationships, shopping, lust, anger, greed, attachment, and ego. The five vices. So our relationship with the five vices, I would suggest, is one of addiction. And addiction includes the concept of compulsive behavior. Compulsive behavior is when you can't stop yourself. So an alcoholic can't stop drinking, a drug addict can't stop taking drugs. Is there such a thing as a viceaholic? I don't know, I don't think so. But if you're addicted to the vices, it's very difficult to walk away from them. Yeah? You're almost guaranteed to make mistakes on this journey. And you shouldn't beat yourself up when that happens. But just recognize it's compulsive behavior. There are ways of dealing with it. And the number one is to recognize this is compulsive behavior. Two is wrecking my life. Three is keeping me from Baba. Four, it's keeping me out of the golden age. Five, I'll never make progress while I've got this compulsive behavior. Oh, too fast, okay. So, being addicted to the vices is bad news. That's what it boils down to. And it is a vice. And that's why it's hard to get rid of. And it's why, when you have low self-esteem, it stops you making spiritual progress. It's why I want every Brahmin in the world to do this course. I was thinking of a new strategy. I was thinking that rather than coming to Madhavan like this and teaching the course, which is good fun and it's good service, to teach a small number of individuals in each country. And for them to go and teach the course in their country. And I can do that over Skype. That's much easier to do. Yeah? So when I get back to Oslo, this is the program I'm going to be initiating. I'm going to be phoning up NCs and trying to persuade them to let me run this course over Skype for a small number, like 4, 5, 6 people, and for them to run the course in their country. We'll see how that goes down. Okay. So, and it does get even more interesting because this weakness in the soul can lead to codependent behavior. Codependent behavior is really interesting. Now, before I started my research into self-esteem, I'd never heard of codependent behavior. And in the same way there's an Alcoholics Anonymous, there is a Codependence Anonymous Society. Codependence is when, typically, it's when someone feels unworthy to be loved, so they settle for being needed. Yeah? So a typical case might be a woman who's married gravitates towards an alcoholic, yeah? And in the evening, this wife will go around the bars and back alleys trying to find her husband and stick him in a taxi, get him home, pile him into bed, clean him up, pile him into bed, give him breakfast in the morning and get him off to work looking reasonably tidy. As well as giving him a hard time about the difficulties she's having in her life because of his alcoholism. Yeah? And it's a very strange way of life. And the codependent person is actually treating themselves in a degrading way. They're not being true to themselves. That's what it boils down to. And that because they're not being true to themselves, it lowers their sense of self-esteem, which makes them more codependent. So it's a different mechanism from dependency, but the end result is the same.
Codependent is the wife.
It would be the wife. The codependent person is the wife in this case. And you could have a codependent person who also has dependent behavior. Oh, it's a heavy-duty karmic account. It's bad news. And when I first came across this codependency, I thought, okay, it's technically interesting. Yeah, it might affect 2%, 5% of the people that come on the course. My experience has been, when I run the course, half of the people in the participant audience suffer from codependence in some way or degree. It is extremely common. I was shocked, I have to tell you. It gets worse, I'll tell you in a second. Yeah, that's right. You can have codependent behavior and not be aware of it. You just adopt it as your way of life. So here's some examples of codependent behavior. No, they're quite different. Dependency is when you feel unworthy, so you use some substance or some behavior pattern to make you feel better. A codependent person looks after the dependent person, but in doing so, their own life becomes dysfunctional. So it's quite different. Yeah? Now, a lady called Melody Beattie wrote a book called Codependency No More. Yeah? Nice book. And this is interesting. Somebody gave me a copy. He said, you must read this. So I did. And she describes codependency. She's got a three pages full of bullet points about the behavior of codependence. And not bullet points in a list, bullet points all on the same line, you know, one after the other. 3 pages of it. So it's a very complicated phenomena. And here's some of the big ones. So caretaking, taking responsibility for others, trying to fix and change people. So the codependent person, if it's an alcoholic, say, is constantly trying to get her husband to stop drinking. Every night they have big rows about it. Every morning they have rows about it, you know? So the codependent person is obsessed with changing the behavior of the dependent person, which never happens. And in fact, the codependent person is an enabler for the dependent person. She enables the alcoholic husband to continue drinking and doing his job. The right answer is to allow him to drink himself silly, and when he wakes up one morning with his face in the gutter, then he's aware he's got a problem. But before that, he hasn't got a problem. It's a bit tough, but that's the right answer. Okay, repression of your own feelings, not taking responsibility for your own needs of feelings. Obsessive behavior, trying to control people. Denial that there's a problem. My husband's not alcoholic, he just likes a few drinks, that's all. Yeah? Dependent on other people's opinion to feel good about yourself. Don't communicate well. They have weak boundaries. This concept of boundaries is quite important. Many people do not have good boundaries. You know, somebody will say, would you just do this job for me? And because that the person is a people pleaser, they'll just do it, you know? But somebody with good boundaries might say, well, I'd like to do it for you, but actually I'm just a bit busy at the moment. You can bring it to me tomorrow or next week, you know? Boundaries means that you have your own life and you won't allow people to control it for you. Yeah? And people with low self-esteem often have poor boundaries or not well defined. They're not able to say no. Exactly right. That's right, they can't manage their own time because they're giving their time to other people. Yep. Sorry, I'm speaking too quickly again. It's perfectly possible, yes. The codependent person can, in their turn, become a dependent person. Yes. Because their self-esteem is low and they're vulnerable to dependent behavior. It's a very sad state of affairs. There's a book called In the Realm of the Hungry Ghost by a man called Gabor Mate. If you want to find out about addiction, that's a good book to read. It's a really tough book to read. He describes in graphic terms how people who are addicted to drugs behave. It's very sad. It really is. Anyway. Sorry, can't hear? I can't remember whether it's Ghost or Ghosts. But it's Gabor Mate. And it's good to read, but it's a hard book to read. It's very gut-wrenching. It's, and you understand the world of addictions much better. And you understand why it's a good idea to have places where addicts can take drugs safely. They don't take drugs because it's fun. They take drugs because they have to. It takes some of the pain out of their life. Even if it's only for 2 minutes, it takes the pain away for that period of time. The fact it's wrecking their body and their lives doesn't count. Yeah? It's really tough. I've become more, the more I learn about this world that we live in, the more I appreciate what a sheltered life I've lived. You know, it really has been sheltered. Anyway, come on, let's get on this. Have weak boundaries. Codependent people don't trust. Codependent people tend to be angry. There's no spontaneity in life. And they're not happy. And being codependent makes them more codependent. Yeah, so it's a vicious cycle. Spontaneous is good, you know. It's like, oh look, it's raining. Let's go and have a party somewhere. You know? Just do something spontaneous. Suddenly. Yeah, but the nature of lightness, I would agree with that, yes. You can't be light if you're weighed down by it. So, Melody Beattie came up with this definition. She said, a codependent person is one who has let another person's behavior affect him or her and who is obsessed with controlling that person's behavior. And she says that it's the best she can come up with in one paragraph, but it doesn't really cover all the cases. So I thought about it, and I came up with this definition. Codependency is when someone else's dysfunctional behavior leads you to behave in a dysfunctional way. I thought, yeah, that's a much better definition. And I'm looking at this definition and realizing it applies to me. That was part of my life. I was behaving in a dysfunctional way to fit in with somebody else who was being dysfunctional. I ended it that day. It came to an end. It did cause a ruction, but it was the right thing to do. Yeah? Okay, another little twist on karmic laws. Don't take advantage of others, and don't let others take advantage of you. If you want love, be love, give love. To try to control others is futile. And I have to share a conversation I had with Diane once. Diane loves words, and I kept on trying to persuade Diane to take some of the words out, but she wasn't buying it, you know. I said, but you know, the consequence is going to be the Brahmin family are going to look at this manual and they're going to take out the bits that they like and they'll throw away the bits that they don't like, and that's what they'll use to give the course. And Dan says, they can't do that. You have to stop them. Trying to control others is futile. Have self-respect and give respect to all. If someone has low self-esteem, they don't treat themselves with respect, and the word respect is not part of their vocabulary. It's not one of the words that they use. So they don't understand the concept. So they don't treat people with respect. Not because they want to be rude or something, but they just don't understand the concept. You know, that it's nice to treat people with respect. Yeah? So in that, from this diagram, which I think is ever such a useful, this is the diagram that I created that Saturday morning, and it told me I'd found all the features of self-esteem that I needed to find. And you'll see from the diagram that there are various mechanisms that lock it in place. And this is why low self-esteem, once acquired, sticks like super glue. It just reinforces itself. Yeah? I'm seeing all these cameras taking photographs. It's a good diagram. And it's unique, you know? And my research tells me that self-esteem, or low self-esteem, is just not understood in the world at large. High self-esteem is your natural condition. It's not especially created or managed in anything. It's your natural condition. And low self-esteem is not your natural condition. Low self-esteem is an aberration. It's wrong. It's always, always, always based on something false. It's a lie that you have believed. Yeah? But it affects everybody. Okay. So how do you fix low self-esteem? So the factors that maintain low self-esteem include the negative self-talk, the memory of bad events, dependent behavior, codependent behavior. So you have to stop the energy leaks and raise your self-esteem, and we need to deal with all these conditions in a healthy way. If you miss one out, it'll just trip you up. Which is one of the reasons why low self-esteem is a bit hard to fix. You have to fix all three: the negative self-talk, the memory of pain, and weakness in the soul. If you miss one out, it will trip you up. How are we doing? Oh, take a little break. Take 10 minutes. We'll have a bit more time this morning. Take 10 minutes. By that clock over there, come back for 5 past. Yeah? Be sure to stretch your legs. Come out of the seats and stretch your legs. Okay, perhaps we should get together again. Can I recommend this? So, did you like the diagram? Yeah, it's a cracker, isn't it? Yeah? If you understand the diagram, you understand self-esteem. Yeah, it's very good. So, if you're going through a difficult time emotionally, it's a good idea to take extra rest and to eat well. Cut down your sugar intake, especially white sugar and artificial sugars. You don't need sweetness in your life. You are already sweet enough. Yeah? What about Tollies? Oh, you have to have Tollies. Actually, even Tollies, if you come to a place like Madaban, it's possible to over-Tollie. Yeah? I can't digest wheat, it turns out. And a lot of the Tollies have wheat in them. So they're not good for me. But usually the quantities are so small, it's not significant. Sugar is a vitamin B robber. So our body systems work better when we have less sugar. Walking helps restore the balance of neurotransmitters in the brain. Yeah? So if negative thoughts and memories are reducing your key neurotransmitters that help us to feel happy, walking will help to restore them. In fact, walking is an extremely healthy thing to do. You should be doing at least an hour a day, I'm told. I only wish I could do it myself. But you should walk at least half an hour every day. You should get some exercise. It's good for your neurotransmitters. It's good for your body. It's good for your joints, your blood system. It's the most potent drug available on the market. Exercise. Yeah, if you could patent it, you would make a fortune. It's the best drug on the market. It's the best thing you can do to your body is to give it some exercise. And I personally spend far too much time sat doing computer work. And apparently sitting is cumulatively bad for you. Once you've accumulated so many hours of sitting, you can't do enough walking to undo the damage. It's a cumulative damage. Yeah. How much sitting maximum? 10 minutes a day should be as much as you can manage. There's quite a few officers sitting. Yeah, 10 minutes a day should be as much as you put up with. Yeah. And I spend about maybe 6 or 7 hours a day sitting down. But quite a few places have given their staff tables where you have to stand to do your work. Or they've put bicycles, treadmills underneath the desk so you can silently work your treadmill while you're sitting there working away your calculations or whatever. Yeah. But these are techniques which are very good. But the standing one I like. But the real answer is just get yourself outside. Or the other thing is when you get outside, you hopefully get some fresh air and you get to see a bit of blue sky. And the sunshine will give you some extra vitamin D, which you also need. Yeah? Brahmins don't get enough vitamins D and B. You should be analyzed for those. So less sugar, more walking, and learn to give love to your inner child. So, this is what I want to talk about next. Actually, we're going to finish quite early today, and I think that's okay. Sometimes when people feel sorrow, hurt, fear, or sadness, talking too quickly, they just stay in that space for a long time. Yeah? Many try to suppress these emotions. I certainly did. Or ignored them, which I absolutely did. Others will get angry with their inner child, and the critical parent will dominate. So it's important to nurture your inner child. When you do that, there's less time spent in a state of hurt or fear, and you begin to heal the inner child. So the work I've done over the last few years, my inner child is in a much better shape than he was 4 years ago when he was screaming at me. Sometimes when people are in pain, they get immersed in that and forget that sorrow is in the mind only. Yeah, it's all good words. I'm not going to go through this a lot. So think about what we've learned in Raj Yoga. We've learned to meditate by saying, I'm a peaceful soul, and I'm learning to be peaceful again. I'm a loving soul. It's the same with the child. The natural nature is one of goodness. So don't be negative to the child, since that makes the energy go down. Be good to the child. And what I want to do is to do a little commentary. Come on, behave yourself. And I need my watch. Good. And I need some nice meditation. Allow yourself to sit comfortably. Breathe in the light of peace. And let go of any tension in the body. Breathe in the light of peace. And let go of any tension in the body. Let the light of peace surround the soul. and support you, the soul. You are the wise, nurturing parent. Allow the self to be silent, peaceful. Bring your inner child in front of you. Look at your inner child and see how old he or she is. Please tell the child what you like about him or her. What would your inner child like to say? Create a space of love and listen to the child. Accept the feelings of the child. What would you like to tell the child? Tell the child that God loves him or her very, 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 very much. Now imagine a beautiful garden and see if you and your inner child can be there. You can bring someone else into the garden if you wish. Perhaps God. Perhaps someone else who also loves the child. Or you can choose to be there with just you and the child. Perhaps give the child something as a symbol of one of his or her qualities. Simply value the child or play with the child. Would you like God to join you for a few minutes in the garden? Or another positive someone in your life? Enjoy the child for a few minutes. Like to bring your attention back to the room. Okay. Were you able to experience being with your child? Was it a good experience? Yeah? Any questions? No, you're all just very quiet. Very good. Oh, that's... No, that's not right. What happened? Try again. This slide will do next time. I knew there was a mistake here somewhere. Okay, some quotations for you. As is a tale, so is life. What matters is not how long it is, but how good it is. And another quotation, too long to put onto a slide. But you do get a copy tomorrow. You do not need to be loved, not at the cost of yourself. The single relationship that is truly central and crucial in a life is the relationship to the self. It is rewarding to find someone you like, but it is essential to like yourself. It is quickening to recognize that someone is a good and decent human being, but it is indispensable to view yourself as acceptable. It is a delight to discover people who are worthy of respect, admiration and love. But it is vital to believe yourself deserving of these things. For you cannot live in someone else. You cannot find yourself in someone else. Of all the people you will know in a lifetime, you are the only one you will never leave nor lose. To the question of your life, you are the only answer. To the problems of your life, you are the only solution. The lady called Jokader, she wrote a book called Advice from a Failure. And that's on page 131. And tomorrow I'll give you a link which includes that quotation. So, homework. Now, you haven't got worksheet 4. It's part of the... It's on that link. Okay. Continue. Excuse me, I need a drink of water. Continue to read your list of positive qualities every day and say your affirmation about yourself to yourself at least 20 times during the day. If you made up a spiritual lesson, that's the art project, that's tomorrow's item. 2, lovingly accept your feelings and emotions. Dialogue with your inner child if there are any emotions of sadness, hurt, fear, rejection, etc. Write down your conversation between your inner child and nurturing parent if an opportunity comes up. Use a positive tone of voice with yourself. Continue to be aware of and decrease negative self-talk. 4, learn to accept and see what is under the anger instead of suppressing it. 5, use your Beyond Ants worksheet if ego or anger come up. And 6, continue to meditate every day. Here endeth the lesson. I'm a good chunk ahead of time, but never mind. I'm sure you'll find a good use for the time. Question? I'll show you how to become infinitely powerful tomorrow. It's good. I created the idea when I was in Hong Kong. Yeah? And I included it in the inner leadership course. And it was challenged. Somebody said, you can't use that. It's not Brahma Kumara's teaching. So it was sent up to Sister Gianti. And she copied it on to Dr. Nirmala and to Sister Mohini in New York. So you've got the top 3 brains of the world from the Brahma Kumaras family. And they all looked at it and said, yeah, it's all right. So So now it's official Brahma Kumaras teaching. Yeah? And you'll like it, it's good. The painful memories is dialogue with your inner child. Yeah? Inner child work. It's a psychology technique. Yeah, and where it came from, you'd have to ask a psychologist. It's his work that Diane Tillman put into the course. And it's the old technique that I had in the course was about going back into the past painful event, recalling the event, and then changing all the dialogues into positive dialogues, not negative dialogues. And it can work. A lady called Brandon Bays wrote a book called The Journey, and the whole book's based on that technique. And she cured herself of cancer using that technique. So it can work, and it can be very powerful. But it runs the risk of dragging out feelings and emotions that can't be put back down again, which is not a good idea. And that was the technique that Diane Tillman saw in my course and said that definitely has to come out. And that's why she got involved. Thank you, God. Otherwise she wouldn't have got involved. She says, I'm far too busy for this. So it is? I'm not sure there's a spiritual side to it. I think it's entirely psychological. But it's a good technique. It's very healthy. It's very healing. And it's very gentle. No. She just saw it as dangerous. Straight dangerous. Yeah, and in my naivety, I put it into the course. Which is why it was good that she got involved. I have heard of that before, yes. Oh, yeah. The memory is flooding back to me now. This was a gentleman in Cambodia who used this technique. Hawaii, sorry, okay. Yes. Yes. Okay, so I came across that technique, and I did my research, and he was the only person in the world recommending it. I couldn't find anybody else who recommended it, so I couldn't use it. It didn't look well supported. I mean, clearly, for him it worked. I mean, for everybody else's purposes, this gentleman, he went to a psychiatric hospital, which is in a really bad condition, and the staff had a high turnover and a high sickness rate. And he turned up and he sat in the office looking at all the photographs of the patients, one at a time. I can't remember the exact sequence of words, but what were there?
I love you.
Please forgive me.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. And that's all he did. He looked at each picture and very slowly said those four statements. And then he went through the staff. And he went in the next day and did the same. He didn't leave the office. And over a period of 2 weeks, the whole hospital turned round. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Forgive me. Yes. No. It has. It's a good story, and but I couldn't find anybody else who recommended it. There was no basis for it. So if it was challenged, I couldn't defend it. That was the reason I didn't use it. okay, we're ending early today. I'm going to donate a whole 3/4 of an hour back into your lives. This is a great time to go down to Baba's room and have some extra time with Baba. Yeah? Or an extra cup of tea. Or whatever. Tomorrow is a relatively short one as well, yes. Yes, we'll probably finish a little early tomorrow. There was an item I took out of today and put it into part 5, so it might balance it up. A present. Fantastic. That's a very nice present, thank you. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Absolutely, yeah. What this brother is saying, everybody, is that he's going to get his national coordinator to contact me, and I will run this course over Skype for Botswana. I will do that for any country, or maybe several at the same time, because it seems to me that it's a much smarter move on my part to train trainers in individual countries by Skype and have them run the course. Brandon Bayes, and the book was called The Journey. BAYS.
We look at this and we kind of give him to some people who contact.
Okay, thank you.
Is this a kind of affirmation work?
Very nice. Very good. BK, Dallas, Texas.
Yes, this is Dallas, and the reason I want to talk to you.
Okay, and you're on my desk side, so I need to.
Okay. Let me sit this side here. No, 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 you sit.